country be with us in a given year. The Buters were with us earlier in 2009, and they are returning to Austria, Spain, just not too long. Maybe 4 or 5 weeks they'll be back and headed on back. And the Gutierrez's are in Spain as well, and it's our privilege to have them with us tonight. It's been about 5 years since they were here with us last. And so there's a lot for them to report on and very little time remaining, brother, before you can do that. How about 5 after? Take till about 5 after 8 tonight, and we're glad that you're here. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Pastor. It's a blessing to be here. First of all, I'd like to thank you for your faithful prayers and also for your faithful support. Without your support, of course, it would be impossible for us to be able to do the work of the Lord in the country of Spain. All right, I'm going to have my wife come and help me. I need to turn the projector on, which I imagine is just hitting the red button, right? Yeah. Okay. I'd like to, as the projector gets going, I'll get my guitar. I'm going to use this mic. We have seconds to wait. That's all right. I forgot. I should have turned it on a little bit before, but didn't realize. I'll explain it. What we like to do is it's simple. Teach you a Spanish song, just short. If you know a little bit of Spanish, you'll be able to read it. Now this one, we'll just pass all this. This is the order of the service, but not today, of course. One of the songs. Okay, right in the middle. Estar solamente en Cristo, solamente en Él. La salvación se encuentra en Él. No hay otro nombre dado a los hombres. Solamente en Cristo, solamente en Él. That's all. That's actually the chorus, I think you say here in English. My wife and I will sing it for you first, okay? And then the next time, you'll try, okay? Don't worry about it. I don't speak English. You know, if you do bad in Spanish, solamente en Cristo, solamente en Él, la salvación se encuentra en Él. No hay otro nombre dado a los hombres, solamente en Cristo, solamente en Él.
Okay, you all together.
Solamente en Cristo, solamente en Él. All right, we'd like to sing a song. Only in Christ.
I usually tell the people, I'm trying to cut it because we have so little time, so I didn't say anything. But usually my son sings with us.
Yes,
and it's based on John 14:6. You all know that verse. And the chorus is only in Him, only in Christ.
Okay.
Want to say that I'm so happy to be here with you tonight, and it's been about 5 years, so it's been a long time, and so we're really glad to be with you folks this evening. And I want to just encourage you not to give up if you're witnessing to family or friends or someone at work, because even though it may take a long time to win a soul for Christ, which you know that Spain is very difficult, I want to encourage you not to quit, because the Lord is still working in lives today. Yeah. And I could tell you of our ladies' meeting, and a lady that recently asked us in the ladies' meeting, she asked us, how can I be saved? And we were kind of shocked, my co-worker and I. But you know, the Lord still works in lives in difficult countries, and this place may be difficult too. And you may think one of your family members is very difficult, but I encourage you to keep going and don't quit. We've been on the mission field 27 years, and we've had over the years many people's lives changed. We like to sing with you, do what you want with my life, Lord. That should be our desire, shouldn't it? As Christians, we should want the Lord to do what He wants with our lives. This song was written by a friend of ours in Spain, and I translated it.
Okay.
So we could sing it in English.
Microphone? Okay, thank you. All right, we're going to try to move through the presentation. We keep singing, but quick. All right, this is my family, my wife Shella, Nicholas in the middle. He's 14 years old. He's enjoying his cousin in Rochester, Minnesota, who is also his cousin, is 14 years old. They're having a good time, and he decided to stay there with them. Then myself, I have two older children, but because one is 23 and the other one 24, I didn't include them in the picture. They both live in Spain and help us in the work there. My sending church, Calvary Baptist Church in York, Pennsylvania. My pastor, his name is Greg Goldberg. Well, from the USA to Spain, 84. But in 82, my wife and I went in an apprenticeship program and worked for almost 2 years there in Spain with the CLAPS. Then in 84, we were officially appointed under Baptist World Mission. We're going to go only, and let me tell you what, I'm going to show you only where I've been working this past few years, not since the beginning, because we'll be here hours. I know some other missionaries in Spain have been in the same work since the beginning. You know, it's a difficult country. The Lord has been good to us. We have been able to be in different places. We're just going to go to Avila. Avila is a province which is kind of like if you go from Madrid toward Portugal, you'll find it. This is the name of the city, Arena de San Pedro, Saints of St. Peter, something like that translated. I don't know if I translated that well, but we have our own Roman bridge. We have our own castle. This is the church, Iglesia Evangelica Bautista. You know, let me translate it. Gospel Baptist Church. Evangelica does not mean evangelical. It means gospel, okay, in Spanish. And, of course, the reason why I translate it for you is because you folks in America, you know, you write everything backwards. It's not Spanish, no. Spanish is correct. This is a church service, and recent, not too long ago, and I wanted to show you a picture. And this is taken from the right, actually from the left side. And let me tell you the reason why my older son, he's 23 years old, he doesn't want to come anymore to America. See that young girl right there? That's his girlfriend. And this is a fellowship. You know, we have fellowships like you do here. Let me tell you what a missionary do. A missionary actually preaches. You know, my job is to preach every Sunday. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time, you know, that we have. It doesn't differ a whole lot from pastors, actually. They don't call us missionaries there. I don't call myself a missionary there. Actually, for the Spanish people to understand a little bit what I'm doing, I tell them that I'm a Bible teacher. And then they look at me like saying, what a waste. But still, you know, it's something that can relate. Because pastors, for them, is someone that takes care of sheep, you know, which that's what we call ourselves, pastor, Bible teachers. And we do teaching, preaching, leading. You see me with the guitar, my wife at the piano. And then we have also four other guitars, sometimes three on a Sunday, or four other guitars helping us with the service. To the right is my son, Christopher. The one is 23 years old. He plays there at the church also. We also have ministry with children. I notice you do too. And we love children. They're very important for the future of the work. We do evangelism in the homes. To the right is missionary Barry. He's my co-worker. And in the middle, Anita Bayless. She lived here in Minnesota for a while, which maybe some of you have met her, you know. And then some of our ladies. Paulina, saved after many years. Marisol, faithful to witness. And Mari, faithful to attend. Youth activities. We also, this is the former church where I used to be before. And we got together. They have a pastor there now. And we do youth activities, like you probably do here too. Where do we do our baptisms? At the river. We don't have a baptistry in our church. And it's beautiful to go to the rivers, especially our area, because we have mountain rivers. Another nice thing about the guitar is that it's easy to carry. Can you imagine carrying a big old piano like that? Oh, it's hard enough for me to carry the big suitcase my wife carry with us going up in a second floor in a hotel sometimes. Here I was baptizing Paulina, faithful lady. She's doing so good. She asked you to pray for her family. She's the first one to come to know the Lord. No one is saved in her family yet. She's got children, and her husband just passed away recently. But you know, she said that at the hospital bed, he accepted the Lord as personal Savior. Isn't that a blessing? And I baptized also Elena, her husband. I baptized her before. And this is Jesu, that I also baptized this last term. As you see, this is a different place, a different river. But we always go to rivers. What else do we do? Well, we do vacation Bible school, like you sure, I'm sure you do here. This is Anita Bayless, our co-worker, with one class. My wife had another class. Then my wife now is teaching craft to the children. And this is my co-worker doing the games. He enjoyed, I think, even much more than the children. You can see it in his face. And the ladies helping us. There's Paulina already helping us, and Marisol with the activities. Some other ladies from the church. We had a creation and science seminar. A group, probably you heard, they came from Rosemont, First Baptist Church in Rosemont. Pastor came and another man, and it was very hard. Let me tell you, because it's hard enough just to listen and try to, you know, get what they're telling you. I had to translate it to Spanish. Can you believe it? Every night after the sessions, I had such a terrible headache that you couldn't believe it. I think it's the last time I'll do it. But lots of people came. Lots of people came. We had a good time. And this is camp. We take this is family camp that we did also. We have other camp that we go, but this is one we did with the churches kind of from the area. When I say from the area, let's say an area of maybe 100 kilometers, something like that, you know, because there are not that many churches close by. And my wife mentioned some about the ladies' meeting going real well, and they are. We pray for the ladies in the church doing real well. Here they're singing. Let's go a little bit again to the town, Arenas de San Pedro. We get quite a bit of snow, but nice thing is that the snow comes and the next day it goes. At the most, maybe it'll stay 2 days. Kind of nice, but they get a lot of snow because it's a mountain area. Most of the people live in townhouses, and then the rest in apartments. But these townhouses are getting popular. And you see the roofing usually is red all over Spain. It's a color that they like very much there. This is my co-worker, Barry Bayless, with a picture of some of their neighbors. And I had this picture to ask you to pray for the unsaved people in Arenas de San Pedro. There are many more, of course, but we're there trying to reach them. This is a drama that we used for evangelism. We don't have a lot of room in our church, but the Lord is blessed anyway. We just get the chairs away when we get a fellowship. We put them back. We do all, kinds of things. I'm not going to spend time. I don't have the time to tell you about the Spanish people, what they believe, what they do. But just look at the picture, get an idea of what we're dealing with. Apart from terrible materialism today, and a Catholic Church does not know how to handle anything. They cannot stop by, because they teach so poorly and so bad, and because they don't use the Bible, they have lost every single battle that they have tried with the new government we have, President Zapatero, which is the leading in Europe of bringing the worst things that you think of. For example, Spain is going to have total abortion. But folks, think about this. Not only that, the women could abort up to almost 7 months. Can you believe that? Then he has given the rights of homosexuals, not only to get married, also to adopt children, and more, he's so proud. In the Catholic Church, all they do is compare. They say, well, there are certain things, they are worse than this and that, and it's terrible. They don't know, and they're losing every single battle. And of course, we're too few to do much there, which is really sad. Then, you might think that the Spanish people worship the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's not true. They worship virgins. Actually, you might even think that they worship the Virgin Mary. Part of it. But each town that you go in Spain, they have their own virgin, And that's what they really worship. You should see them taking them in the streets, and the people crying and doing all those things. It's really sad. But we'll go back to Arenas de San Pedro. You know why they made these walls in the past? To have freedom inside the walls. But we know the freedom is found only in Christ. And this would teach us an example, would give us an example for us. I know it's a Roman road. They built these roads. They're there, folks. You can come and see them. It's not a lie that the Romans went everywhere, and even to the highest mountains, and they built the roads. It is true. They went everywhere. This is close by our church, maybe about 15 minutes, because you have to go up and up and up and up. Our town is way down there. And you see the Roman roads right here. I have another picture. See? Now, think about this. They did all this to conquer the world for Rome, not for their power, for their own. Are we doing the same thing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we working this hard to try to reach the people of the world? That's a question that I leave also for me. Let me show you some of our people, not all of them, but this is Jose Luis. I'm proud of how he's doing. He is the sheriff in town, and it's a blessing. Well, we call him Guardia Civil, Sargento de la Guardia Civil, but he will be compared like a sheriff, okay? And I baptized him not too long ago, but his wife is saved. She's coming to. She's still not baptized yet, but soon probably will be baptized, and two of her children, their children. And pray for the family structure, because sometimes we get the lady, but not the man. Sometimes we get the man. We usually get the lady first and then the man. But sometimes we do get the man and not the lady. Pray, because it's so hard for them when they become a Christian, in Spain. And at least they don't have a close family, like I'm talking about husband and wife. It's very difficult. But, at least Carlos lets her come, and she brings the children and teaches them and the Lord. And he comes for special activities, Christmas, things like that, banquets, different things we do at the church. But then it doesn't come for regular services. And then I was able to work with this young man. He is a lawyer. It was very hard in the beginning, but the Lord worked in his life. And then, actually, his mom, that wasn't coming, started coming, and she's much more faithful then what Jesus, the lawyer, or Jesus, I call him, is also his name is Jesus, but for here it doesn't sound very good in America, you know. But in Spain we have a lot of names called Jesus, so lots of them, you know. And we're very happy, you know, for these people. Now, another, Paula, her two children are saved, but time is not. But, you know, he's been coming without missing any services, but still hasn't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. On Sunday, I preached on Sunday, and then, of course, we were coming here. He was crying. But he still makes us, but hopefully, you know, soon he'll accept the Lord. It takes time for the Spanish people. It's a totally different work than what you do here, you know. But still, of course, here in America, it's very hard. It's getting hard, too. But it's because of their background, their Catholic background, you know, it just takes time and to understand certain things, you know. If I would have more time, I would explain you in details, but it would take hours. Pray for the children as they grow and as they become servants of the Lord. Here we have Jose Luis, the sergeant's son, you know. Hopefully he'll be a soldier of the cross. And I have this picture just to represent, you know, actually there should be much fewer lights, but, you know, when someone gets saved, there's more light, you know. More lights, you know. And now this works well, but wouldn't be nice, let's say 5 years from now, whenever the Lord brings us back into America, that the lights would go about this much. It would be wonderful, wouldn't it? And I'm sure for you in America, that everyone would be saved, you know. Well, you say, pastor, missionary, you're crazy. Maybe. But, you know, we have to have faith, you know. And I know, because I've been in Spain, how long, Sherry? My wife, 27 years, you know. And we have seen, as my wife said, people getting saved and baptized, but never as many as we would like to, of course, you know. And but the Lord is good. But pray for the Spanish people. Pray for the darkness in this country. One sad thing was what happened in our house in November 5th, 2006. Our whole bottom part of our house was flooded. I lost almost everything I had for the ministry because my office was there and everything else that was important. And this is us after the water started going down a little bit. Things went everywhere from one place to the other. It was total a mess, a chaos, terrible. And we never got paid because they said it was natural, and we didn't have in our insurance anything for natural or whatever they call it. Disaster. My wife is saying disaster, natural disaster, something like that. It's a long story because I don't believe it was any natural disaster. It was the work of a constructor that did something that he kind of turned a little creek or river to a different way, you know. But it's a long story. But anyway, I never got paid anything. You know how many books I threw away? Apart from everything else, you know? 700 and some books. I got one of these wheelbarrows, you call them here, I think. And trips. But, you know, the Lord is good. And the Arenas Church, I want to thank you, folks, for your prayers and your financial support. Without your prayers and without your financial support, this church probably wouldn't be here. Now, you might say, well, it's not a humongous group, I understand. They're not thousands, I understand. But you know what, folks? They're privileged. There are many towns in Spain without a gospel witness. I'm not saying a church. No, there are lots of towns without a church. I'm saying without even a gospel witness. You know what it is, what a privilege is to have a church? And they're very happy, and they understand it. And let me tell you some goals. We are 30% under-supported. We haven't lost any support. The dollar is playing some games with us. And the dollar got to 162, I think the maximum it got. Now it's, I checked this morning, 141, still awful bad. When I was here last time giving my report, with 95 cents of a dollar, okay, I would get 1 euro. It takes today 1.41, and a few months ago, 162. It devastated us. It's impossible to keep any budget of any kind. It's impossible. You know, when you go to the bank and take $1,000 and they give you 600 euros, when you pay $7 for a gallon of gasoline, even right now, we're paying $7 for a gallon of gasoline. And everything goes up, inflation, everything. and your salary decreases every month, every month, every month, you know, I know that some people say, well, adjust to it. Yeah, but it gets to a point, what do you adjust to? You know, you keep getting paid less and less every month. But, you know, I have to be, and I am very happy for my churches and all of you, because actually we haven't lost any support. Seriously, the Lord has been good. It's just that the dollar is so weak, so weak. Then our van, you know, our old Nissan 1.9 diesel engine, 8-passenger. Those that make, but they go and go and go, you know. My kids call them the tank, you know. But finally, on Saturday before we were coming here, my wife called me from the grocery store and said, the van doesn't start, you know. Well, and that goes the story about it, history about the van. But 600,000 kilometers, that's a lot of kilometers, folks, for a van like that. And then, of course, we lost a lot of things in the flood. And let me tell you our goals. You have seen pictures of our co-workers. Well, we've been talking to them, and also with Ron Brooks, our field director. And probably in November, they're going to continue with the work, and we are going to go by faith and faith alone, because we don't have anything. We don't have enough support. We don't have we don't have a van, a car, and we don't have books and anything, you know. But we're going to go by faith to a new place to start a church. Pray for us, you know. And it'll be a good ministry, this one, for Barry and Anita. They've been 4 years there. Their language is getting good. And it's going to be good, and for us to go into a new place. My family now, thank you for your prayers and support. And this is a verse that I leave there. Well, I'll take a few seconds to if I find my Bible. Can you give me my Bible? Thank you. Well, let me share with you just some thoughts from Scripture. All right, another thing I'm losing is my sight. I can't see as good as I used to. I turned 50 two Sundays ago, and I'm losing everything now. My hair, you know, everything. All right. Now, I just want to tell you, because we don't have the time to go in the, you know, not even through the outline, but the title of my little devotional today is The Burden of Missions. A church that believes the Bible must have missions at the forefront of its church program, that is a church that actually the Lord is going to really bless. Every born-again child of God, walking in the will of God, will have a missionary burden and vision. We are told to look at the harvest, and the fields are the world. John 4, 34 through 38. Now, the question that I'm going to leave with you is why missions? Oh, missions, why? That depends if you say it in Spanish or English, you know. I always have a hard time to know, you know, if it's the White House or if the house is white, you know. That's one of the problems we have with Spanish people. But you do too when you go there. If not, I can tell you about my coworker. All right, in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, the Lord says to all of us, go to all nations. In Mark 16:15, it says that we have to every creature. In John 20:21, the Lord says, so sent I you. The Lord wants to send you and me, all right? In Act 1:8, we are to go to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You know, a little church there in Arenas de San Pedro Rey support two missionaries, you know, monthly. And then we have other projects that we also support. And it's a little church. We need lots of things. We have $30,000 saved at the bank because they want to buy a place. And right now we're renting, you know. But, you know, we don't just say, okay, we have so many needs, you know, we're not going to give for mission. No. No. You can't do that. Because it says that at the same time we have to do all these things, you know. You know that Jerusalem is your country, America, and my country also. America, I became a U.S. citizen years back. You know, I'm a U.S. citizen. But, you know, at the same time, I still hold my European citizenship. And at the same time, I'm Spanish because I'm a son of a Spanish family that migrated from Spain into Uruguay, which I have three nationalities. And then the one in heaven. It's four. It's four. Anyway, and then Jerusalem is our country, ¿verdad? Or our area in Judea could mean our state, Minnesota right now, okay? Minnesota, I was married, and my wife and I, we were married in New Ulm, Minnesota. Church will be there next Sunday evening. You know, It's a blessing to be able to do the will of God. Then I will continue on and we'll continue on, but we don't have the time, you know. And of course, at the same time, the Lord tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do you have a burden? Do I have a burden? Do we have enough? Is our burden good enough? That's a question that we should ask. No, we should ask ourselves. No. Because of the testimony of the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you what the Lord Jesus said. Jesus was a missionary, I believe it. He was, that's what the Word of God says. He was God sent one. For God sent not the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus was burdened for the world. He looked with compassion upon the multitudes. He wept over them, the Word of God says in Matthew 9:36, Luke 19:41. He says, other sheep I have, then also I must bring. John 10:16. Jesus ordained us to go, ordained you to go, and ordained me to go, of course, in John 15:16, and to bring forth fruit. We have shown you some pictures of a little bit, you know, the little fruit that we have gathered there in the little town in the mountains of Arenas de San Pedro. You know, the Lord is good. Also because of the example of the early church. If we will have time, we will go on and tell you how the early church did and what a tremendously good, well done job they did. And also because of the example of the Apostle Paul. I'm going to finish right here. I know the time is up. Something that the Apostle Paul wrote. If we talk about burdens, if we want to find someone that has a tremendous burden, that was the Apostle Paul. Paul's burden was so great. Listen to this. To explain it, when you explain this, it's so strong, that I don't even want to say the words that actually what this means. I just read, and then you just go home and keep reading. And you understand, you will understand the burden that Paul had. This is what it says. Paul's burden was so great that he wished, listen to this, himself accursed for his own people. This is very strong, folks. But he loved the world. And he accepted the call. And he went on to tell the people of the world that they needed to be saved. We need people today with this type of burden, compassion, like the Apostle Paul had. But the question is, do I have a burden like that? I have to admit, not like the Apostle Paul. But would you pray for me? The guy would give me a burden like that. And I would pray for you. The guy would also give you a burden like the Apostle Paul had. A burden for souls. They're lost. Without any hope. Who's going to go and tell them? Are you? Am I? Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving us this time together on a Wednesday night in your house. What a blessing. I'm so happy to be here and get to see Pastor and the church family and for this nice group in an evening in the summertime. Father, thank you for everything you've done for us. I pray, work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.